And for as long as humans have been thinking about the world and thinking about who they are, who we are, and what our part is to play in God's creation, there have been many questions that people have asked. And one of those questions that has been asked since the beginning is, what is truth? Of course, the most famous time that question is asked was by Pontius Pilate during our Lord's Passion. What is truth? Quis est veritas? And when people ask that question, a lot of times the answer they will say, it's whatever you think it is. You'll hear people say that. That truth is subjective, that there's no objective truth, but truth is in the eye of the beholder. Just as beauty is, so is truth. And because of that, there are many who are willing to proclaim a different truth, a truth that we might find objectionable. But they would say, well, but your truth disagrees with mine, so that's your truth, and my truth is my truth, and we'll just have to get along. Problem with that is many who 5-10 years ago would have said that are now starting to say, no, my truth is the real truth, and your truth is the offensive, evil truth. That you need to follow what the world says, and what, you know, these Christian teachings, these are just bad and wrong. That's what you hear more of today. But we have not just a truth. As the gospel today says, we have the truth. We have the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, residing with us as Christians. At our baptisms, we received the Holy Spirit. And once again, in our confirmation, and we received the Spirit of truth. At that moment. And this is the truth revealed by Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is an objective truth in the world, and that truth is Christ. No other truth. If it is opposed to Christ, it is not a truth. It is a lie. And this truth that we have from Christ is not something evil. It's not something that's harmful. It's not something that is going to hurt someone. Instead, it is a message of hope. It is a truth that brings hope to the world, a world that is so in need of hearing this message of hope. This hope is the same one that Philip proclaimed in the first reading. The first reading says that he went to Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. He was proclaiming this truth. And they heard this truth, the word of God, and they accepted it. And they accepted it with joy. It says there was great joy in that city. The truth is joyful. The truth brings salvation. It brings hope. It can move people in a way no other supposed truth can. It lifts people up. It doesn't put others down. This truth is a message of hope embodied in Christ. And this truth, of course, as we hear from St. Peter, for Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Christ was righteous. He came here. He was God himself, second person of the Trinity, and took on human flesh and died and rose again for our sake. We are the unrighteous sinners. We are the unrighteous who need his salvation, who need his hope. And then as St. Peter said, put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. Through that truth, we understand that one day we will rise from the dead. And if we are in union with his truth, we'll enter into eternal life. We have this hope of the gospel. We have this truth of the message proclaimed by Christ, lived by Christ. It's a message of hope. And it's a message that needs to be heard in the world. We need to be like Philip, going out and proclaiming this truth. We call that evangelization. Going out and proclaiming the message of the gospel, the truth of Christ, to the world. And this is not something that we can leave for others. It's something that each and every one of us is called to do. It's a part of our Christian call. To follow Christ means to go out and proclaim the good news of the gospel. It's important to live our faith, but we also need to be active in proclaiming, speaking about our faith. As St. Peter says, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. The reason for your hope. Can we do that? If someone came up to us and says, why do you believe? Why do you have that hope? Can we do it? We should be able to. It's an important part of our lives as Christians is being able to proclaim why we're Christians. And why we want to follow our Lord. And why we want to be saved. Why we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This isn't something just for the professional Catholics. You know, the priests, the bishops, the deacons, the apologists you might see on EWTN or on the radio. It's not just for them. It's for all of us to be able to do. And no, we might not be able to do it perfectly, but we still need to be able to proclaim that message. And unfortunately, I think as a whole here in the United States, we've not considered that important. We haven't taken it seriously enough, this need to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to speak about our faith to others, to those in our community. And so we have communities where more and more people, young people, if they're even baptized, have no practice of the Christian faith. We have a couple of generations where the numbers have gotten worse and worse. The percentages growing up in Christian families that go on to carry into the next generation and the next generation. Even those who maybe are baptized and receive the sacraments, First Communion, confirmation, they fall away and they might go to other churches when they come back. In some of the city, bigger cities, you'll find the Bible churches, you know, the independent churches. Usually they're a little more dynamic, and you know, you got the rock band and you got all that stuff, the lights and the bells and whistles and everything. And in some cases, half the population of that church is fallen away Catholics. They left the Catholic Church and they started going over there. For many reasons, some possibly legitimate, some possibly not. But that should concern us. I joked when I was in Miles City, there was a church there. And I think the number was actually closer to about 2/3 the number of the attendees of that Bible church. So I joked, yeah, one day we'll just have to go over there and say, ah, thanks for the new church. This is our congregation here, so we're taking over. But we need to be willing to talk about our faith. We need to be willing to give a reason for our hope. And we need to turn things around now. We need to have some urgency in this. It's too often we think, oh, you can do that later. That can wait. We got other things we need to worry about now. No, it needs to be more urgent. It needs to be more serious. We need to be more bold in proclaiming the truth of Christ, this truth given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So may we truly seek to follow that truth. May we truly seek to proclaim that truth to the world, to a world that is so in need of the hope promised by Christ.